Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
There will be a ballot measure next year, and that ballot measure is to ask you to not raise taxes, but to lower the threshold to raise taxes. All right, so how's this work out? All right, so it's Assembly Constitutional Amendment 1. You'll see this referred to as ACA 1. All right, and the idea behind ACA 1 is whether or not we take a good look at the threshold for raising taxes in California. If you have a municipality that wants to raise taxes for helping the homeless, or if they want to raise taxes to repair a bridge, something of that sort, or they want to raise taxes hotel stays or something of that sort, you have to have the voters pass those referendums by what is basically a two-thirds majority, 65% of the vote. This is a pretty high threshold. When it comes to schools, 55% is all it is. So, number of people in Sacramento said, well, that doesn't seem right. So, why don't we just lower that down to 55%? It's still more than 50%, but it's not nearly as daunting to try to get people to pass it as is currently the case at 65% is what you have to have. In other words, 2 out of 3 households have to approve the tax for it to go into effect. And some cities, municipalities are calling foul. The story in the LA Times talks about Sonoma County wanted to pass a sales tax to fight wildfires. That vote got 65%, but it didn't get the two-thirds, so it did not pass. And so they said, well, now what are we going to do? Joining me right now is Carl DeMaio. You're quite familiar with Carl DeMaio. I'm quite familiar with Carl DeMaio. Carl, good to talk to you again there, my friend. So,
hey, Chris, when I heard that you were sitting in.
You're the only one. So here's the here's the deal. We've got people in Sacramento again saying, well, why don't we make it easier to raise taxes? And I'm going to go out on a limb and say you don't like that.
Well, yeah, this is absurd. California already has the highest tax burden in the country of any state. We have the highest income tax, the highest sales tax, the highest gas tax, the highest car tax. Despite Prop 13, we still pay some of the highest property taxes because our homes are assessed so much higher than the rest of the country. We have the highest utility taxes. Everything is highest in California. And these greedy politicians, whether it's City Hall or Sacramento, they say they don't have enough money. They want to add burdens to our cost of living with these higher taxes. And Chris, I got to say, the reason why we have a two-thirds vote requirement for special taxes is, number one, we know that taxation can be an unfair system. It's easy for the majority to say, hey, we've decided we're only going to tax people with the first name Chris and the last name Merrill. You know, they narrow it down saying we're going to tax the rich people here or the soda consumers or the tobacco users. We're going to tax all these people, and then we're going to use their money for the benefit of the earmarked people that we've decided to benefit from the tax. When you have a risk that the majority can target and take wealth away from select groups, we need to make sure that it's a fair process and that everyone agrees overwhelmingly that we need to do it. That's why the two-thirds originally existed. But here's another reason why we have two-thirds. The politicians lie to us on our ballot. They have now gotten to the point where they no longer even tell you what you're voting on. You're not told that a measure has a tax increase in it. Instead, it says it's for the children. This is an initiative for safe streets and better schools. And it doesn't say that there's a tax increase in there, but there always is a hidden tax increase. So what we did is we said we've got to fix Prop 13. We have to restore it because the Democrats have used loopholes to undermine it over the years. We wanted to get a taxpayer protection initiative passed in 2024, and we're still dedicated to that. That would basically put Prop 13 back to where it was in 1978, providing a fair vote on taxes, the two-thirds vote requirement. The Democrats don't want that, which is why they have both these bills moving forward, ACA 1 and ACA 13, which would gut Prop 13, and ultimately it will absolutely raise your taxes. There's no doubt in my mind.
So, Carl DeMaio, my guest, if you've got a measure that's going to be on the ballot, but these are going to be on the ballot as well, is the ballot likely to be confusing? Is this why, I mean, messaging has got to be vital here, and it's always an uphill battle.
Yeah. You nailed it. One of the ultimate thing that Democrats want to do is they want to defeat the California Taxpayer Protection Initiative that we got on the ballot through 1.4 million signatures. It's on in November 2024. And so what they're trying to do is have basically a both-and strategy. They want to both try to lower the threshold for these tax increases with ACA 1, while at the same time using ACA 13 to destroy and defeat our ballot measure. They're trying to make it so that our ballot measure requires a supermajority vote to pass, which means that we would have to get a two-thirds vote to implement our provisions that require honest ballot titles be presented to voters. And so they're literally putting a poison pill on the ballot. But to your point, even if they don't succeed in passing their two measures, they're trying to make it so confusing for voters that they overlook the wonderful initiative that we've got to restore Prop 13 to block tax hikes, and that the voters just say, oh, throw your hands up in the air, let's vote no on everything. So what they're trying to do right now is not only weaken Prop 13, but you know, if they can destroy our measure in the process, they're fine with that.
Carl, will you tell me more? Tell me this honest ballot title thing.
Yeah.
And I'm with you because it's so often we get the title that'll be, you know, the For the Puppies Act or something like that, right? So how do you guarantee an honest title? That's always been a strategy by everybody, regardless of political party, is to make the title seem catchy.
So it's very simple. Our initiative requires that if a measure contains a tax increase, the words tax increase have to be in the ballot title. How about simple like that? I mean, that's all we're asking for is if you're going to put a tax increase before the voters and Prop 13 requires a vote on taxes, Howard Jarvis never in his wildest dream, the guy who wrote Prop 13 in 1978, he never imagined that politicians would basically say, all right, we're going to put a tax increase on the ballot, but we're not going to tell people it's a tax increase. We're going to say, hey, this is an initiative that would improve the condition of children, would fill potholes. Yes or no? They're not going to tell you it's a tax increase. And so that was perhaps the one thing that Jarvis was not prepared for, that Prop 13 says it needs to be a public vote, but it never said, and you have to tell the voters what they're voting on has a tax increase in it. So our measure simply says that if a measure has a tax increase in it, the title not the summary, not the legalese, but the title itself must contain the words tax increase. And that is all we're asking for in terms of the honest ballot titles. You're still going to have ads that are deceptive. We can't do anything about that. That's the First Amendment. Politicians can lie. Special interests can bankroll deceptive ads. What we think that voters deserve is at least an honest disclosure that what they're about to vote on could end up costing them or someone else more money, and they need to take a closer look.
And on the ballot itself, on the paper, is what you're saying then. Yeah.
On the ballot itself, and we believe that a fair fight would be achieved if voters actually were given the truth. And so, look, we are up against David versus Goliath here. We need help. We're going to need to warn voters that Prop 13 is in danger of being gutted by these two initiatives that the Democrats voted on last night, while also simultaneously getting a yes vote on our California Taxpayer Protection Initiative. So people can join the campaign, they can contribute, they can sign up for more information or to volunteer at StopCaliforniaTaxHikes.com. That's StopCaliforniaTaxHikes.com. And if you're sick and tired of these politicians lying to you on the ballot and raising your taxes, you got to get in the fight, because the special interests are coming for your wallet. The only way for us to stop them is if we work together and unite as grassroots activists at StopCaliforniaTaxHikes.com.
All right. Carl DeMaio, chairman of Reform California and a longtime friend of mine, Carl. I'm happy
yes.
to say it. It's great to connect with you, Chris.
We miss you down here in San Diego.
I know, and I miss San Diego, too. It's one of my favorite places in the world. There's no doubt. All right, Carl. Take care, my friend. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks so much.
You know, speaking of it's going to cost something, it's going to cost a lot this year for politicians to run. Remember when we used to be amazed at how much politicians were spending? That was nothing. Those were the good old days. Just get ready for this. That's next. Chris Merrill, in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Deborah, had you heard that one before?
I have not.
What, are you a pirate?
I'm old school.
I once told Robin, and I stick to this, Robin is the program director, I said, I think Handle on the Law is the best show on radio. I just love it. I think it is so good. So good. And that's why. Oh my gosh. Are you a pirate? I'm Chris Merrill, in for John and Ken today, KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk, and one day hoping to be ever as creative as Bill Handel. That's just wonderful. Maybe you recall there was a big story, and it's been a while now, but maybe you recall there's a big story back in 2012. It was when Mittens, Romney, and Barack Obama were running for the office of President of the United States. And political spending that year, nationwide, among all candidates, from dog catcher to president, all spending nationwide topped $1 billion. And I remember just saying, this is crazy. This is $1 billion. I said, $1 billion people are spending. And I looked at it at the time and says, $1 billion that we could be putting toward whatever you want. Infrastructure, homeless housing, feeding lost puppies, whatever it is. Well, that number has changed, as one might imagine. And with inflation and whatnot, you know, it's gone up. The expectation is in 2024, nationwide, we will see over $10.2 billion spent on candidate ads. $10.2 billion. $1.2 billion in California alone. So what we had nationwide, just what will have been 12 years ago, the anticipation is will be for California alone. And now we're looking at $10 billion nationwide. I get frustrated when I see these numbers, because all of those things that we complain about when we say that you got to follow the money and the politicians are bought and sold and all of these different, and then you see political spending at $10.2 billion. I will tell you this, politicians hate it when I say this. I don't donate to politicians. There's two things I don't do. I don't endorse a politician, and I don't donate to a politician. One is for professional reasons, and that's because I once endorsed a guy in the early 2000s who ended up in prison. And I said, well, I'm not gonna endorse anybody again because I don't know how that's going to end up. So I don't do it. And the other is I don't make donations because, frankly, I see these politicians running ads nonstop. And I just think, where's the money coming from? And is it coming from people who are complaining about the government taking our money? Imagine $10 billion. Now, I know $10 billion in the grand scheme of things is a drop in the bucket in the nationwide American spending, yada, yada. But that is a lot of money just to say, I want things to go my way. So who is making those donations and why are they willing to put so much money forward? And it's because it pays off for them in the end. So whether it's unions making donations to their politicians so that their politicians will support their strikes, as we're seeing play out in America today, or it's CEOs making donations so that taxes will be cut and it will save them and they will get their bonuses, as we're seeing playing out today, I don't like seeing this much spending. It just screams crony capitalism and corruption at the highest levels. All right, we'll shift, get away from the politics a little bit because, frankly, I feel gross. There was a hack, a big hack, in Las Vegas. Alex Stone is our ABC News correspondent. He's going to join us next and tell us about whether or not your information may have been breached. That's next. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Cyber attacks affecting some of the biggest casino operators in Vegas. Alex Stone is our ABC News correspondent. Alex, Love talking to you, buddy.
Mr. Merrill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great there, my friend. So good. Let's dive into what's happening there at the resorts. It sounds like this has been a real mess for the resort operators here as they try to make sure everybody is secure.
Yeah, he really is. And it was 5 days now. You know, it's been going on since Sunday, and they don't seem to have a good answer to this whole thing. But this is MGM, so Bellagio, the Cosmo, Aria, New York, Luxor, Mandalay Bay, Excalibur. It goes on and on, and then outside of Vegas as well. I mean, it's a lot of properties that are dealing with this. Hotel room keys not working, slot machines down, elevators down. If you want room service, you got to call down. No ordering on the app or on your TV in your room. You want to pay out at the casino, it's done by a human. The computers that won't pay out right now, the little slips that come out, the vouchers. It is a royal mess. Right? And this is Randall Jensen. He brought us in and described what it's like on the casino floor at MGM Grand.
If you want to get any money back at all, then you have to have an employee do it manually.
And the whole thing is crazy because it shows you just how connected everything is, whether it be the elevators or the slot machines or ordering food, that it's all connected, and all of that has been taken down. Now, the thing is that the hackers, Chris, may not be, probably are not into most of this stuff, but MGM, you know, they had to pull the fire alarm and just shut everything down so that money isn't flying out the door. And, you know, what if they messed with the elevators? What if they messed with the slot machines? They don't know where they are and what they're in. So anything connected, MGM has shut off. And so that makes it that much worse. And, in fact, the hacking group Black Cat, they are criticizing MGM, saying that they overreacted and that they weren't aware of their own system and where these guys are and where they aren't, and that they shut everything down. But that guy, Randall Jensen, on the floor saying,
check-in procedure is kind of messy, a lot of long lines. Gambling's really messy. It's not as fun when you have to wait.
So the lines at like Bellagio and elsewhere to check in because the computers have been not working, or they've got to manually like give you and make a key card for you and check you in on paper and everything else, that it's been a very long winding line to get checked in. So this they haven't figured it out yet. They figured out some workarounds and they're beginning to bring some things back online, but 5 days into it, it's still a mess.
Well, man, check in and check out can be kind of a time-consuming ordeal anyway, depending on what time you get there. We've all been there, and sometimes you walk right up to the counter, and sometimes there's a line. So that's got to
be... They get rid of the computers, and, you know, it's like old school where they got to, like, make you a key, essentially.
Oh,
and say,
gosh.
Here's your room number, and you know, you can go to your room.
And off you go. So, Alex, what's happening now with the hackers? Are they making demands? Do they just do this for fun? Do we know what the motivation was?
Yeah, so they've been pretty public here in the last 24 hours. They are making demands. We don't know exactly what they are. They're not saying what the dollar figures are, but they've set up like chat rooms where they want to talk to MGM and they want to talk to the CEO, and they've got links that they want MGM to click on. I'm guessing MGM doesn't want to click on those links, not knowing where it's going to bring them. So they're publicly putting out statements saying that it's about to get a lot worse. It sounds like MGM, there were some reports they had paid a ransom, but sounds like they have not paid the ransom. So this group is saying, because you're not communicating with us, because you're not agreeing to negotiate with us, that it's about to go really bad on you and that they're going to start to bring down systems that MGM doesn't know that they're in. This is Alex Stamos, a cybersecurity expert. He puts it this way.
If they're not paying the ransom, which seems to be what's happening at this point, then the attackers are highly motivated to try to increase the pressure on them. They're doing that already through these public interviews to try to embarrass them. I wouldn't be shocked to see some data start to get dumped out that was stolen from MGM. And then if they get really mad, the attackers might start deleting systems or breaking stuff where they still have access.
So, Chris, it's a question of what does a company do? You know, we've seen the schools and banks have to deal with this. Do you pay the insane ransom to make them go away and to get access to your computers back, even though you still don't know if they're really in there? And, you know, then you got to kind of clean out your computers and make sure they're not in there. But in the meantime, they at least say that if you pay them, that they're going to stop messing with you. Or do you do, you know, the FBI advises don't pay the ransom, because that then creates more of these. And that if somebody says, well, I can make $30 million, then they're going to do it again and again and again, and others are going to do it. So it just propagates more of these. So do you not do it and then elongate it like this one is right now? And will they eventually end up paying anyway? And Stamos, he's saying that no matter what, this is going to cost MGM a ton of money. Put it this way.
I'm hearing $10 to $20 million per day is the cost, and it will be millions and millions of dollars of remediation. So I would not be shocked if the overall cost is in the $100 to $300 million range.
And that's even if they don't pay the ransom. So $10 to $20 million a day. Or do you say, you know what, enough? Here's $30 million. Get out of our computers and then go your way. And as of right now, it doesn't look like they're doing that.
Alex Stone is our ABC News correspondent. Alex, like he said, remediation is going to be an expensive part. That means, I'm guessing, bringing in more cybersecurity experts beyond who they already, I'm assuming, paid a boatload of money to try to prevent this from happening, to find the loopholes,
yeah, I mean,
to fix the loopholes,
like a,
to fortify
like a flood in, yeah, like a flood in your house of where is all that mold, and you bring in water remediation to rip apart the walls and to look for the mold. They're going to have to do that in the computer system of rip apart the walls of the computer networks and figure out where were the bad guys and how did they get in and what damage did they do and can they still see anything and, you know, all of that. It's going to be a lot of money.
We don't have any idea how they got in there then. And I don't mean, I don't need code or anything like that.
Well, but, no, not specifics. The group is claiming it was easy to do, that they found the profile on LinkedIn and it seems like posed as that person, called somebody, and they said there was a 10-minute phone call to get into the internal workings of the system.
Okay.
So we don't know. But did they call and say, hey, you know, this is Joe Franklin from the IT department. I need you to do this and do that and do this. And they claim whatever they did that it was really easy to get in.
Yeah, that's why I wondered, Alex, if it was a brute force attack, which is, you know, the geeks will tell you that's when you go in like they do on CSI and somehow they all get in within about 30 or 40 seconds. Or the social engineering where somebody shares a password or like you kind of hinted at, they don't want to click on the
generally.
Link. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because why do we want to click on that link? Well, you gave us another link to click on. We're not going to fall for it, ding-dongs.
Right. You already broke into our system, and you're telling me to click on this? No, but they say, you know, assuming that they're telling the truth, and, you know, I don't know, do you trust a hacker group, that it was a phone call, and then something they got them to do when they called MGM and that 10-minute phone call that allowed them in.
Oh, what a nightmare. What an absolute nightmare. All right, Alex Stone, ABC News correspondent. Alex, as always, appreciate the time. Give my best to the family there, my friend.
You got it. Thanks, Chris. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, buddy. Yep, you too.
All right. Bye.
What an absolute hellscape that is. Can you imagine being the hotel manager or somebody who's near the top that all of a sudden has to deal with this? Can you imagine that coming down on you? Golly! Listen, everything is shut down. We're going to lose $10 to $20 million a day. What do you want us to do, boss? Stop losing $10 to $20 million a day. Heads are rolling. Nobody knows, like he said, who's behind this. Nobody knows how they got in. Meanwhile, suppose that you are some low-level intern who took a phone call from someone you thought was a higher-level member of the IT department. And you did what you were told, thinking you were doing right. You just kind of sheepishly tuck your tail between your legs and just hope nobody figures out it was you. 100% that would have been me.
I would die. I would be so embarrassed. I mean, look, it happens.
It does.
But you know, I don't want it to happen
job,
to me. I know.
Right. Oh, it's always like, you know, we all experience this where it's like, oh, that would be me. Right. Oh, whatever it is. Somebody, you're carrying a giant stack of donuts and you trip over the sidewalk and it falls onto a police officer and they're not happy about it. And then somebody takes a picture and it goes viral. That's me carrying the donuts, right? Just that's me.
And then you're trying to explain yourself and nobody really understands.
It wasn't a political statement. I was taking donuts, but it fell on the officer and then it wasn't. That was me. That would totally be me every single time. There is a new viral sensation on the TikTok, and yet it feels very familiar. I'll tell you what that is next. I'm Chris Merrill in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Gen Z loves the newspaper? Oh, man. What's old is new again, I guess. Okay, so I'm reading this Substack called Embedded, right? And in the Substack it talks about this new trend and this this viral sensation on the TikTok. Kate Lindsay is reporting. And Kate Lindsay says that she came across 23-year-old Kelsey Russell on TikTok while she was doing something decidedly un-TikTok-y, reading the New York Times out loud, saying there was no dancing, no suspenseful music, not even much editing. But she was still drawing audiences of 10,000, 50,000, even a million viewers. Whoa! She's reading the New York Times, and she's having what they're calling sincere and enthusiastic demeanor and a natural and entertaining way to break down complicated stories. Wow. What a great idea. Anybody ever think of doing that? This is remarkable. She's been invited now to tour the New York Times office, is being wooed by the Washington Post. Before she started reading news on TikTok, Kelsey found some success with videos helping black people find their community in Boston. She recommended salons, nightlife, destinations, and more. Huh. So let me get this straight. A new hot sensation that's getting 10,000, 50,000, even a million views is someone who is sharing the news and giving recommendations about where to spend your disposable income.
I should be doing that.
Yeah, I feel like there's a real opportunity there. It shocks me that the society has gone this long without figuring out how to capitalize on such a thing. To find the news, to share the news, to have sincere and enthusiastic reactions to the news, to break down complicated stories in an understandable way, and then to also share likes, dislikes, and other recommendations to people.
It's groundbreaking.
It really is. It really is. And thank goodness we have TikTok to do such a thing because, I mean, how long could civilization have gone without discovering this life hack that other people might share news, disseminate information, break it down, make recommendations? It's literally talk radio. If you're not catching on, it is literally what we've been doing for 100 years.
But we're not on TikTok.
Wow. It's so crazy, though. She's so far outside the box. Woo. Congratulations, Gen Z. You just became everything you thought you hated. Old. That's it. Congratulations. It's so revolutionary. And look, we're as guilty as anyone, are we not, Deborah? I mean, when we were young, we thought we had it figured out, and we would stumble across something, and we'd be like, whoa, this is so crazy. How come nobody ever did this before? Only to find out that, it's been done before. It's like when my kids are like, I don't watch TV. I watch YouTube. And you go, oh, you do? Why? Because they have people on there that make these different, like, YouTube shows that are really entertaining and good. And you go, they do? And how do they do that? Well, they've got a studio even. They're really good.
Never heard of that.
Boy, if only someone had come up with this concept of, I don't know, developing a plot line and a story and putting it into a studio and staging it and then sharing that with an audience in another manner. If only someone had thought of that before.
We missed out in our childhoods, didn't we?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And at some point, Gen Z is going to be like us, right? I remember being that loathed Gen Z. We were Gen X, right? It was like, Gen X is showed, and everybody takes their turn. Everybody takes their turn. And at one point, you are the loathed generation by everyone else. And then you get to be that age-loathed generation, like the boomers are today, right? And so you go from being, everybody hates you because you're young and stupid and everything you do is dumb and why do they do it that way, to you get to be old and then everyone hates you because everything you do is old and stupid and why do you do it that way, only to find out it's all basically the same thing, just different iterations. That's it. It's like when people marvel over old stories. You know, I went to school for theater performance. And we had to do a lot of Shakespeare, right? Oh, you got to do your Shakespeare class. God, it was brutal. Hated it. I didn't hate the stories. I just hated wading through it because the stories were not new. They're not new stories. Shakespeare didn't have new ideas. He wrote old stories in a new way. And now it's brutal for me to read because it's an old way that I want to hear the new stories. It's the same thing. We're not, listen, you didn't invent the wheel. You just reinvented the wheel. So Gen Z, when you get all excited about the breakthrough that you've got, oh my goodness, I got an idea. How about skinny ties? No one ever thought of skinny ties before. We should do skinny ties, everybody. Yeah, crazy. It's been done. Now I have to go take my heart medication because the doctor told me my blood pressure is getting out of control. And Gen Z, you have that to look forward to too, because as soon as Gen Alpha starts to irritate you, you too may have a little mini heart attack every time you start talking about them. Only because half the time you're talking about them, you're also realizing how much of a dope you were at that age. And then you realize how much of a dope you're going to look like when you become the age-old generation. Really is a vicious cycle. Hey, there's good news. One thing that every generation can agree on, we love going to see Mickey. And Mickey is expanding. I told you, it's a fatter America. That's next. Chris Merrill, in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app.
Hey, you've been listening to The John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.